This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Red Sox fans, here are the bastards of Boston baseball.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Bastards of Boston Baseball. Still kind of cruising through the winter, probably have conservatively at least a few more weeks to go in the lockout. No major Red Sox or MLB developments have happened since we last recorded, so we are going to do another episode of Roast the Host. Charlie Smith and I have 20 questions. We each came up with 10 apiece for Job Goddard, who will be on the hot seat tonight. So we'll be firing away. Some of these are personal questions. There are some Red Sox, MLB questions mixed in as well. When there's a league-wide lockout, these are the shows we have to do to stay consistent. So we did one with Jason Kelly on the hot seat. That was probably about 3 weeks ago. You could probably dig down in the archives for that one. You ready, Job?
I think so.
All right. Be candid. That's what this is all about.
Let's see what we can do.
And for the listening audience, the questions are probably PG-13, so nothing raunchy. This should be a kid-friendly show. Charlie was trying to slip some raunchy ones in there, but I did have to nix them at the last minute. We won't get into details on what those were. But Charlie, go ahead. I'll let you lead off, and we'll go every other throughout the show.
For the record, I can't confirm or deny that last bit that Terry mentioned, but I'm going to go ahead and kick this one off. So Job, awesome to see you as always. And Terry, great to see and hear you as well. First question we have on the docket: favorite sport to play in school?
Does kickball count as a sport?
Yes.
Kickball.
Done.
Oh, awesome at kickball.
Did you guys play something we called up here in Maine called mat kickball, where the bases were huge? Or did you ever?
Not that I remember.
Okay.
Negative.
We had like these plastic, like super thin bases that you like threw down.
Okay.
But I don't even remember that being super serious. I just know that I can kick the ball really far.
We had
I'm
these
really slow.
Huge.
So I kind of need that.
We had these huge bases when I was in high school, which admittedly was probably 15 years before you, but class of 2001 right here. But the bigger bases led to more aggressive base running because you could just dive and you were going to land on it no matter what. And it was just a fun form of it. But
it's been a long time since I played kickball. Most of my high school / even most of middle school was pretty much snowboarding. That's what we do for gym class.
Really?
In Switzerland.
Oh. You know,
a spoiled people. I consider myself a good soccer player. I don't think anybody else would consider me a good soccer player. But I like playing soccer too.
Soccer's good.
Hey, man. As long as you think you're good, it doesn't matter what other people think, you know? As long as you think you're the best.
I'm the most confident player at any point in my own game.
So you were
the best.
I was going to say, in Switzerland, was your dad like in the CIA, something like that?
No, oh. Actually, sells medical devices.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha. All right. Well,
yeah, it would be cooler.
I'm going
to let him know.
Go with a repeat question from the other show. Nice little primer for the rest of it. What was your first car?
I still drive my first car. I'm a lot younger than you guys. 2007 Honda Accord. It's got 109,000 miles on it. All the lights light up when you turn it on. Right, all the warning lights. But it's still running. And doesn't really go anywhere anymore. It's not really a highway car. It's more of like an around town car. I don't need one in DC, so it does me good for now.
Yeah, DC has a subway system, so
subway, bus, they have really cheap Uber. It works out.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's a pretty good first car.
Well, it works.
Yeah.
It still works.
Good on gas. Very reliable.
That's all I really asked for, Terry. You know, I'm similar to you. I'm not like Charlie over here who needs to have like a sports car, Porsche, something to get up in the morning. I'm pretty much like, does it get me to point A to P? Am I going to die if it hits the side of the road?
Or a squirrel.
And how much does it cost? That's it.
Yeah.
See, I'm concerned about getting from point A to B. You're concerned from A to P. So clearly I do need to have a fast car.
Whatever
it's going to get
there
a lot quicker, but the Honda will make it to P. The Porsche probably won't. I do not drive a Porsche for those wondering.
Tomorrow I'm going to look at a Mazda 3, a 2008 Mazda 3. And they're asking,
you're not on the Tesla wave yet, Terry? Come on.
They're asking $3,400 for it. So right in my price range. I'm so cheap when it comes
there
to
you
cars.
Go.
See, I thought Terry was going to move down to South Carolina, and then all of a sudden he was going to stop being frugal, and he was going to treat himself to like a brand new Tesla.
No. $3,400 in South Carolina is a supercar, dude. No, I'm just kidding.
Sounds good to me.
Cool. It's a good car. You'll enjoy it. Joe, I'm just going to turn the clock back just a couple years here. What was your favorite toy growing up as a kid?
My favorite toy growing up as a kid? That's a good question. How far back are we going?
Oh, you know, like, when you were like 6 or 7, so like 4 years.
6 or 7? Yeah, screw you. I would say...
However old you want to be. I mean,
Legos.
Literally, as a kid, technically...
I was a big Legos guy.
Cool.
But I wasn't like the buy the set and like follow all the instructions Legos guy. I was like the have a bin full of like Legos and build my own Lego like center. It was like a whole garage floor filled with Legos. And I built out like a little city, and every little character had their own story, you know? I was big into Legos.
Solid.
Gotcha. All right. So this is a good one, Job. And be candid.
That concerns me.
What is a quirk an ex-girlfriend had that would piss you off?
That would piss me off.
Like just something on a daily or weekly basis that you'd give a major eye roll to. Like, are you kidding me?
See, this one's, again, tough, right? Because... I'm a lot younger than you guys. There's a lot fewer options to pick from here. Let's see. The eye roll, I mean, something I roll my eyes at from an ex. The expectation that no matter what you're doing, you're going to answer your phone. I don't like that. And I do answer my phone no matter what, because I'm pretty good at being on top of it. Unless Charlie calls, then I leave him go to voicemail. But otherwise, I'm pretty good at that. But the expectation that you're going to always take a call, I don't like that.
All right. I could see how that's annoying.
Yeah, it's mostly like, you know, it's fine the first couple of times. But if you're – especially if you're doing something and they know you're doing something, then that gets annoying really quick.
Yeah, you need
like
your space.
They know I'm on the air. You know I'm on the podcast. Why are you calling me 3 times? You know, that kind of stuff would drive me kind of crazy.
That's valid. I actually put my phone in Do Not Disturb. I can show you how to do that later if you want.
No, thank you, Mr. Mac. I'm okay.
So this has been a very cold month. I'm going to change this up and try to warm it up here. Favorite vacation spot so far? 2-part question. Favorite vacation spot so far? And then next vacation destination you've never been to.
Okay. Well, this is easy. This week, I told you both, I'm going out to Colorado. I'm going skiing. So that's my next up on the list, top vacations. I would say the coolest vacation destination location was not my best vacation. But I'm going to have to go with the Red Sea. in Egypt is a pretty it's a pretty cool vacation destination. I don't know, are you guys resort people, or would you guys more be like a go somewhere and like enjoy the local side of things? Like, I'm curious.
I'm all for exotic.
Because, like, let's put it this way, right? I went to Mexico last year, or even earlier this year. I was in Cancun. I've been there a couple of times now. Had an absolute blast. I left the resort, like, maybe twice this time. And, you know, most of the group that I went with, they all went to see, like, the Mayan ruins and, like, all kinds of great stuff. And I did not. I sat on the beach, had a couple of cocktails, you know? So it depends on what kind of vacation you're going at. But I was able to go diving in the Red Sea, see some cool animals, barracuda, stuff like that. That was probably my favorite vacation.
Yeah, I kind of like to – I'd be more on board with your friends. I'd kind of like to go out and venture, especially if it – like what Charlie said was somewhat exotic and whatnot. When we went to Oregon – I was there
for exotic followed by Oregon. I love it.
Well, I'd never been west of the Mississippi. Well, I did go to Reno once actually, but and Topaz Lake, which is near Tahoe, I think. But we did whale watching, which is cool. You don't have a lot of that up at least off of coastal Maine, and the hiking was pretty good. I mean, Maine isn't really a mountainous state. The Appalachians do kind of touch the northwestern part of it, but yeah, anything out in the woods or, you know, on water is really cool. Charlie?
I'm a big on the water fan, but I went on one cruise. I'll never do that again. That was like misery times 10. Like the whole time I was like, oh my God, there's too many people. Oh my God, there's so many people. And oh my God, there's nowhere to go where there's not people. It's like claustrophobia 101, and I'm not claustrophobic. You know, those Fenway seats are pretty small, but I'm okay at a sold-out Fenway in those bleacher seats. I don't mind. They're not that small. I don't dislike crowds. I hate cruise ships.
Fair enough. Cool. Thank you, Joe.
Here's my first baseball one of the three that I do have. Pick a manager.
Alex, Terry Francona.
Yeah, that was choice number two, either him or Alex Cora. So you would go with Francona?
Absolutely. I didn't know there were choices. I always would go with Tito.
Yeah, me too.
He's easily the best manager that I think we've ever seen. I think a close second that I would go with at any point would be Joe Maddon. I like Joe Maddon a lot. He's a different kind of guy, but I like Joe Maddon a lot. And if I had to round out like a top three, I would have trouble turning away from like a Bobby Cox character down in Atlanta. I know he's probably like 95 at this point, but that's the kind of old school touch and feel manager that I would prefer over the robot.
As long as you didn't say John Farrell.
I thought about saying it just to see what you would say, Terry, but this is supposed to be a candid episode.
Charlie, thoughts on...
No, I didn't know Bobby Cox was that old. I had to look back. I was like, he's 90? He's 80 years old. But geez, I had to double check. I was like,
see, I just took a guess.
You weren't far off. I thought he was close. I thought he was like 87, 88. So I was also wrong. Francona will easily be my favorite one. There's no question. Like, I miss that man. If he came back to Boston, I'd be a happy person. I'd be like 18 all over again.
There's very few people that I think I always will take their side over the organization. Because generally, you know, I'm a team first, everybody else kind of be damned person. For example, if you're rooting for Tampa Bay in this playoff race here, I don't agree with you. I hope he never wins another game. It's like watching your ex-wife succeed. I don't understand it. Why do you like it? It's weird. But Terry Francona and the way that they treated him on the way out the door, I'm still upset about. I would absolutely let him manage any game he wanted to manage for the rest of time.
You know, I've said this before on the show. 04 was cool. 07 was cool. But his finest performance as a manager was really with that Indians team, getting them to game seven with only one bona fide starting pitcher. I know Bauer made some starts, but
everyone's arm fell off in that run.
Yeah, exactly. And Bauer, like I said, was like a 5-something ERA guy, kind of looked like a busted prospect. This was in 2016, and obviously he's since won a Cy Young and got into a lot of trouble. but that team, and it wasn't like this high-powered offensive team either. So I just thought him getting to Game 7 and extra innings of Game 7, nearly won the World Series with them. I thought that was his finest performance.
Yeah, I think it's either that or it's 07. You know, I mean, 04, everyone likes to talk about it. That team was a juggernaut, right? Like, yeah, we had to get past the Yankees. Greatest comeback ever in sports history. Totally agree with it. But, I mean, everyone in their world knew that when Millar got on base, you were going to pinch run Roberts. The whole world knew he was going. There wasn't anything managerial that was genius there.
No.
And the team, to get to the playoffs, it wasn't like he didn't have talent. Right? But I think that 07 team, they truly dominated in every phase the entire year. That would be my favorite Terry Francona managed team.
Good.
This is going to be probably a quick one. What's your favorite TV show of all time?
That's not a quick one. That's tough. I'm a TV guy. I probably watch 2 to 3 episodes a day on any given day. I probably average like 1 or 2 series a month all year. So I watch a lot of television. I would say Breaking Bad is up there. Game of Thrones had, you know, 4 good seasons, maybe 5, followed by the worst ending in television history. So that kind of writes it off. But I would have to go with Breaking Bad or The Sopranos.
Good choices.
I just don't see how you can not choose one of those. Like, there's a couple of other options in there, too. I really like Prison Break. Season 1 especially I thought was fantastic. But a lot of shows, I feel like, run 2 or 3 seasons too long. And those were the only two that I could think of off the top of my head that are just better as they go on.
I'm actually watching Cobra Kai right now. I didn't think I'd get into it, but surprisingly, it's been phenomenal. I'm only right at the end of season 2, so I got a ways to go. But
I've heard good things. It's on my list.
Yeah. If I like it, I say anyone would, because I'm more of a documentary style type show.
Well, you're old.
I guess. Yeah. Northwood's Law is one of my favorites recently. It's like Cops, but with game wardens, and they're in Maine and New Hampshire, so it's kind of pretty local. But
I did that specifically because I needed to see Charlie's face when I said that.
Am I the most mature, though?
Probably not. Exactly. Maybe on this show, but I think Andrew has his beat.
They haven't seen the War Room, but I'm usually instigating or something. But yeah. All right, I'm up next. Best 2 pizza toppings.
Ooh. It depends on the combination, because I wouldn't put these two in combination. But I generally would say pepperoni and chicken are my 2 go-to pizza topping options. But I wouldn't put them both together.
So what's a pizza then? 2 on 1 pizza. If you're calling...
Okay, 2 on 1 pizza. My go-to pizza is probably a sausage and bacon pizza.
Oh, that's a good one. So you like the all pork theme?
Oh, yeah. No, like give me as much... Like anything that stops my arteries, that's what I want on my pizza. If it's not good for me, I want it on the pizza. That's key.
Who do you order it from?
Well, when I was in college, a lot of my roommates used to call me the KOD, the King of Domino's.
Okay.
I was at one time partial to Domino's. I've since kind of try to avoid pizza. I'm not good at avoiding pizza, but I try to avoid it. So I would say of late, it's probably a local place. I like trying to do the local mom and pop stuff, especially right now.
Yeah, when I go out to eat, that's where I go. I eat at a local restaurant and avoid chains. But for some reason with pizza, you get the best deals with, unfortunately, Domino's, Papa John's. Domino's, though, to their credit, they put that garlic in the crust, and it's just delicious.
Oh, it's so good.
If it's hot, like leftover, it's not as noticeable, but, you know, cold pizza. But yeah. Charlie, thoughts?
No, I know what I would do for my two toppings, but
no, go ahead,
Job. So I could go into it.
Or pineapple and mushrooms. Is that what it is? That seems like a
pepperoni and pineapple, baby. Come on now.
I knew it. Quit playing. I knew pineapple was on there.
Okay, so
why would you?
Bacon and pineapple is my go-to. Bacon and pineapple.
Oh, you're both pineapple people.
Yeah,
I'm
interesting.
Yeah, that's very polarizing on pizza. Pineapple.
It is. My girlfriend does pineapple on pizza.
Yeah,
she's a classy gal. She's a classy gal.
Yeah,
in Italy, it's frowned upon. She's quite the woman. I approve. Job's girlfriend. I haven't met you yet, but I approve.
Bacon and mushrooms also something I like. Mushrooms are another thing that divides people.
See, I like mushrooms. I like mushrooms on pizza. I just don't necessarily trust that those mushrooms are fresh.
True.
Or, you know, good mushrooms when you're getting it from Domino's.
True. Yeah.
All right, so next one we have here. Keep it light. Most embarrassing moment as a kid.
Oh, there are so many of these. See, it's a lot fresher in my mind than for some of you guys, you know? most embarrassing memory as a kid.
I instantly know
five.
Back
to me on that one. I'm going to have to pass to the next question, and we'll get back to that one at the end. I got to think on it.
All right.
Okay, we could do that. I mean, we got some time.
We'll come back on it. This one you might not have quite as much trouble with. Who played the best Batman?
Oh, that's also hard. Look, I like Bale. I think he's great. But I would say Wayne was the best. I'm going to go with Bale. It's just easier. He's my generation's Batman. I'm too young to have actually seen the others when those movies came out. So I'm just going to go with Bale.
I don't think you were born. I don't think you were born when the other ones came out.
That's what I'm saying. I'm too young to have seen another Batman. So
when you said Wayne, that's his character's name. Which Wayne are you talking about?
I'm saying that the best Wayne is Bale. It just has to be.
Okay. All right. Because I've seen some lousy ones, let me tell you. I've actually been offended with some of the Batman choices they've had.
I think
who's the next Batman? That's the question.
It's like who's the worst Batman? Who's what?
The next Batman?
It has to be
007.
It has to be
the next Batman is Robert Pattinson.
Oh, is it actually? I haven't even. Oh,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
the new movie.
Yeah,
out.
Yeah, that was the question. I answered the question. That's Robert Pattinson, and I'm not happy about it.
Yeah,
I might not watch that one.
A vampire to a bat. It's just kind of, you know, it's kind of funny.
I haven't seen the George Clooney Batman. I don't even remember the title for it.
Don't.
But yeah.
Don't. I don't even want to waste your brain power
like Clooney,
on it. That one
but,
or Val Kilmer.
Not as Batman.
No.
It has to be either Christian Bale or Michael Keaton. I mean, if
Michael Keaton all day, every day.
You think so? Okay.
Oh my God, it's not even close. I love Christian Bale, but that wasn't even Christian Bale's best movie.
Well, I like
it also wasn't Christian. It wasn't really Christian Bale's stealing the show. You know, he's okay.
Right? Heath Ledger stole the show.
But it's all Heath Ledger.
Yeah.
You're talking about The Dark Knight. That was the second one. That wasn't even the first one.
Oh, the first one, I mean, no one cares about the first one.
You're talking about Batman Begins.
No one really cares about Batman Begins.
It sets it up. Dark Knight opened it up. Dark Knight Rises didn't do.
If someone says
much.
You want to watch Batman, if you assume they want to watch The Dark Knight,
of course,
because
Heath Ledger,
movie.
Heath Ledger was a method actor. So, given my former career, like I could talk about people like that all day. They're impeccable professionals. Like they live the role. He became the Joker. He was Joker. That was an incredible performance. He made everybody around him better.
Thoughts on the new Joker movie? Either of you? Did you see it?
Oh, I did.
No.
It was.
If not, you should. Charlie, you should see it. It's good.
I'm actually going to do a live stream. I've kind of been planning it out. It'll be on my, I think on my personal account. I don't know which one I'll do it on, but that's going to have something to do with it. Let's put it that way. And while we're on the Joker topic, I just want to say that I like Jack Nicholson way more than I like Heath Ledger when you compare all their movies, but Heath Ledger was by far the best Joker in the Batman movies anyway. And Joaquin Phoenix's performance in the Joker was also brilliant.
Oscar worthy.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't really put a lot of store by the awards and stuff necessarily, but I'm not a Joaquin Phoenix guy, but he was fantastic too.
Yeah, I like a decent number of his movies. I'm not sure about all of them. But just side note, because we're talking about Christian Bale. He did win an Oscar in The Fighter, which is a phenomenal movie. Starring,
great movie.
Yeah.
Thank you. Fantastic movie.
I was a big boxing fan in high school, and Mickey Ward was a local guy, you know, out of Lowell, Mass., and I went to a boxing match at the Hampton Beach Ballroom and Casino in New Hampshire, and Mickey Ward was in the main event. It ended up being named Fight of the Year by Ring Magazine. It was just an all-out slugfest. But with Bale playing that, the thing that was just so that blew me away is Bale is British. He's a British actor.
But you wouldn't know it watching that
movie. He's from the UK. He's from Wales.
Oh, he's from Wales. Okay. So he's from the UK. But to master the American accent is amazing. But to hone in on an actual Boston accent and play that part, he's just phenomenal. Christian Bale, I mean. Yeah, so
he's good. I think he's good in almost everything. In fact,
watch him in American Psycho.
Ford v Ferrari with Matt Damon as well. That's a movie I would recommend that they're both in together.
I haven't seen that one, but I've heard.
I don't really care about cars.
That came out a couple years ago.
But
that came out a couple years ago.
Yep.
There are some movies that he's done in the past that are insane. Like he was in The Prestige. He was in The Fighter. He obviously did Batman, but he's done so much. Like you have to see American Psycho if you haven't seen it. That's 20 years old now, that movie, give or take. And that's
my age, you know.
Yeah, but it's a really good movie, and it's a psycho movie. It's literally you're on your wit's end the entire time. That movie was insane. All right, so that being said, we're going to shift over. Best sports bet you've placed and won.
Placed and won. Oh, see, like, there's a lot that I placed and lost that I still think are good value. Currently sitting on Bill Belichick, Coach of the Year, plus 1,600. He's not going to win, but I'm still very happy about that. Placed and won. Well, 2 weeks ago, I placed a 6-team NFL parlay in week 16, so not week 17, which is useless, and no one should ever bet on week 17. But I'll pull it up because I have it handy. I keep it handy because it's one of my most proud accomplishments. If you guys had given me a little bit of heads up, I would have had it ready. But to go back and look at it. So anyway, for a little context, it was a 7-team parlay, and it was for $100, which admittedly, not a great idea. Don't do that if you're, you know, listening at home. Bad idea. But proudest moment, it won me $8,000. So that's good. And here it is. Here we go. Okay. Raiders, money line plus 280. I forget who they played. In week 16. Bengals money line plus 190. They played the Chiefs. They won. That was a great game. The Cardinals money line plus 185. They also won. I don't know why they were plus 185 at Dallas. Kyler Murray doesn't lose at Dallas. The Vikings money line. No. The Rams money line minus 185. and the Chargers money line -245. All in week 17. That was two different bets there. Came out to 125 to win $8,054.
Wow.
That's a pretty good lose a lot more than I win. So it's that. But I do cover a lot of that on my other podcast. So there's a lot of options to pick from. This just happens to be my most recent big one.
Gotcha.
Nice.
Yeah, that's a nice haul. All right, so let's go with, this is a repeat from the last Roast the Host episode, but I feel it's repeat worthy. Growing up, which of your two parents was the most psycho?
Oh, see, this is so hard. I know both of them are going to listen to this.
Perfect.
So I have to be diplomatic here. Okay, you do something wrong, but it's not like career ending wrong. Mom was more likely to fly off the handle and yell at you. But if you did something actually bad and or really screwed up, Dad is scary.
Way worse. Okay.
So that's how I would explain it. Though both my parents are terrific, and I'm very lucky to not have any issues like that. So, you know, I was perfect child. Never did anything wrong. Never got in trouble. So I'm speaking hypothetically.
Well, in my family, I got two younger brothers. I'm the oldest. And I was grounded the most by far. It was almost always grounded. But, you know, 30
years. Being the oldest is hard, man.
30 years later, though, out of the three of us, I'm the only one who's not a convicted felon. So.
So you're winning.
I don't know. I don't know where the turnaround happened, but yeah. Thoughts, Charlie?
I feel like we should all just one day grow up to be just like Job. I've met Job's dad, and he's a stellar gentleman.
He looks just like him, though, getting, doesn't he?
You look like similar. Him. He doesn't look like you. He's a fine man. I don't think I can picture him upset. I guess I could picture him upset, but I don't want to. But I feel like if he was upset at you, it's probably justified. He doesn't seem like the type of guy who would just be angry for the sake of being angry.
Well, see, now
to be
for reference,
you know what I'm saying?
For reference for those who are listening, the way Charlie met my father is during a playoff elimination for the Red Sox at Fenway this season. So
that's
against
true.
The Astros. So it was tough.
And he kept
right?
his cool. He we kept his cool. He was the most calm out of all of us.
And he was the only one not flying off the handle.
Yep. That's very true. From the remaining 800 people that were there in the ninth inning. I am going to go hit this one up because this is actually, it obviously wasn't this year, and I'm hoping it was several years before. How many years in fantasy sports until you won a title?
Well, this is my fourth year playing. I have one title. Came this year.
So 4 years.
I'm not gonna lie to you. I play in a lot of leagues. I'm in five year leagues this year, so I doubled my chances this year over last year. I don't have a great success rate in fantasy sports, especially baseball. I'm really bad at fantasy baseball. Everyone I draft gets hurt.
We know.
I know you both know. Everyone I draft gets hurt, and I'm out by, like, June.
Yeah, this was a weird year. I went all in this year. So for those listening, Job, Terry, and I are all in the league that I commission. And it's all family and very close friends that are in it. And I went all in. I threw everything out last year. I was going all in for picks. And I was an idiot and drafted Marcell Ozuna from Atlanta. And everything seemed so good. I was in first by, like, 20 games. And I lost in the finals by two. I was going into Sunday up by 2 points.
You deserve
and I
it.
Lost by two. I've been dying to win in this league, and I can't get it done. It's so frustrating. It's so frustrating.
Well, meanwhile, the best part is now you have to go through a two-year rebuild.
Yeah, because I've choked picks away because this year I choked away my fifth, seventh, and ninth for Jacob DeGrom, who didn't pitch once for my team. But this is not about me. This is about you, and I will yield to Mr. Cushman.
All right. This would be an easy one for me. Not sure how it would be for you. Which celebrity do you find the most annoying?
Oh, this is hard. There's so many. I would say it depends on context. Annoying celebrities. I'm not really plugged in. I must be honest. Like, I don't listen to new music. I listen to the same music that Charlie listened to when he was growing up, like in the, you know, 70s. But this is hard. I see, I like him as an actor. My answer is Jonah Hill. But I love him as an actor. Outside of acting, everything he does annoys me.
That's a decent enough. Yeah, I'm a big Jonah Hill fan. But
I love Jonah Hill. Well, I think his acting is fantastic. He's funny in everything he does. But everything he says outside of a movie, I think is annoying.
All right. Fair enough.
Fair, for sure. All right, Joe, so you're not off the hook yet. Still be thinking about that embarrassing moment as a kid, because
well,
I forgot about
that
one.
Once. That's embarrassing.
Is that your most embarrassing?
No, but I fell up the stairs, and now I'm sorting through it. I'm like, that's top five for sure.
You fell up the stairs. That's up there. Yeah,
you
for sure.
Up,
so we can cross that
up
off
the
list.
And then fell down the stairs because I was like trying to recover. Wasn't a fine moment for me.
Okay, fair enough.
That's pretty light. I mean, I can think of.
There's more, Terry. Don't worry.
You've never crapped your pants in public. I mean, there's got to be some epic story somewhere in there.
I'm sure there's some
think about
story
it, Joe.
Somewhere, but they're buried deep.
All right.
I'm digging them up.
The drama's too bad. All right. Earliest Red Sox memory. So probably what, the 2013 World Series?
Earliest Red Sox memory. Okay. So I have a couple. My parents are fantastic. And when I was a child, had a lot of health stuff going on and had to go to Boston Children's a lot. Turns out the best way to get me to chill out about having to go to Boston Children's was to take me to Fenway. So my earliest childhood memory of Fenway is Pedro versus Roger Clemens. And I want to say it's 2000 and I don't even have the years in front of me. I'm going to say 2002? I don't even know. What years was Roger on the Yankees?
I think he was there at that point.
Yeah. It might have been 02. It might also be 03.
Well, he left to go to Toronto in 97 to 98, 98 to 99. So he joined 99 on, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Let me double check that.
It would be – it's Pedro versus Roger Clemens, and it's 2002.
Might be 2003, actually.
Or maybe 2003.
Yeah, he was there from 99 to 03.
Okay, so it's 03 then, and it's not peak Pedro, right? It's not 2099 Pedro. But my earliest memory is a game between the two of them and not really understanding, right, because I'm too young at that point to actually understand. I still don't really understand what happened. Until I went back and watched it. But that game was awesome. And I wish I was 5 years older so I could have been there and like actually known what was going on. But my earliest memory is Roger and Pedro.
That's a good one.
And then flash forward, it's like the ball's going off Aaron Boone's bat. And then it's 04. Like I remember everything about the 04 season.
Yeah, actually, that was the end of 03.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I remember Roger and Pedro, nothing else about that season, Aaron Boone, and then I remember all of 04. So there was, like, some kind of growth going on there for 5 to 6 year old Joe.
All right. So let's kind of perhaps touch on that era a little bit, a few years ahead, but... Let's go with in a game 7 situation. You can only pick one of these two pitchers to start the game.
Okay.
Do you want Chris Sale or Josh Beckett?
Beckett.
Wow, nice.
Here's the thing, though. How long do they have to pitch?
I would assume 5 or 6 innings.
Okay, then I don't want Beckett. If it's one inning, I might take Chris Sale.
Fair. Ouch.
But Josh Beckett was, for a time there, electric. If I can have Curt Schilling, that's the guy I want. If I can't have Curt Schilling, I want Josh Beckett.
Yeah, Beckett was the 2007 ALCS MVP in the Indian series. And
I mean, he was dominant.
A big game pitcher for sure, yeah.
And before that, I mean, he took out the Yankees in the World Series, so you always got to love him.
With the Marlins, correct. Charlie, thoughts?
I would probably err on the side of caution there. If it's a couple innings, probably. Honestly, you can't go wrong for a couple innings past four in a playoff game because we just don't see starters go that long anymore. Well, now here's the thing, though.
We haven't seen Chris Sale have a great playoff run.
Ever.
Beckett was made for the playoffs. That's why we got him.
Like Beckett, so. Schilling, those guys were made for the playoffs. I mean, I never got to see Curt Schilling in Arizona, but he was even more dominant than he was with the Sox. And with the Sox, he was a beast.
We covered it on the Hall of Fame show last episode. He was actually, Curt Schilling was 11-2 in the postseason.
Yeah, so I'll take Curt Schilling. If I can't have Curt Schilling in that Beckett versus Sale, it's Beckett.
Yep, fair enough.
Cool. So, favorite and worst Red Sox player name to say. Who are you? What are your favorite and your worst Red Sox player names like to say?
Past or what's the
all time, man? No, okay. No limit.
I hate Carl Crawford. I hate saying Carl Crawford. I really do. I don't know why, because I liked the signing at the time, and I hated him when he was on the Tampa Bay at the time Devil Rays. So I was a big fan, but his name bothers me. I don't know why. It just always does, and that might just be recency bias and knowing how it ended. But that bothered me, and he was actually in the same trade as one of the guys that I would say. Is one of my favorites, is Nick Punto. I like Nick Punto a lot. I also am a big fan of Gabe Kapler. Those are some of my favorite...
all-time favorite?
Out there. Well, my lifetime favorite.
Okay.
All-time, I mean, I can go back. There's some really good ones. I mean, the Splendid Splinter for Ted Williams, for example, like they don't make nicknames like that anymore. Now it's like... We just call the guys by their initials. K-Rod, A-Rod. Like we don't do that anymore. I'm too old to, or rather I'm too young. I'm not old enough to remember most of those guys. Best name in Red Sox history, though, has got to be Dewey Evans. I mean, come on. Dwight Evans, that's a name that people aren't actually named Dwight, I'm convinced. I'm convinced he made that up. Like, people don't actually name their children Dwight.
I'm so impressed that one, you know who that is, and two, that you picked him, because that is eons before your time.
See, here's the thing, Charlie. I know everyone who ever played for the Sox. Like, we can go back to
You're
Tris
incredible.
Speaker. Like, I know everybody.
You're incredible.
Played for the Sox. Tris Speaker's a good one. If you don't know anything about Tris Speaker, I think his last Red Sox game was 1918. You should look him up. That's an interesting one, because – again, what man is named Tris? T-R-I-S.
Yeah. It's funny how sports athletes have names like you don't...
They have interesting names, like, right? Coco Crisp is a good one.
Even you know? Pedroia. I mean, is there another one?
No. I mean, there's not, really.
Yeah.
And that story that he was telling about... I don't know. Did you guys – I don't know if you listened to John Lester on Section 10. I know you guys aren't Section 10 fans, but – and neither am I, frankly. But I listened to John Lester, and he was telling that story again how Pedroia didn't know – or rather, David didn't know that Pedroia's name was Pedroia. And he thought it was just Petey. Am I telling that right? I might be telling that wrong. But – one of Ortiz or Pedroia didn't know the other teammate's name. And I believe it was Ortiz didn't know that Dustin Pedroia's name was actually Dustin. Okay. And he thought it was Petey. That's an
I think that's true. Game. Yeah. Yeah.
Sounds like it would be. Yeah, so am I up, Charlie? Yeah, I think that was. All right, so just two more on my list. So if you're going to watch a movie marathon between these two actors, which one would you pick? Will Ferrell or Jim Carrey?
Will Ferrell. I think Jim Carrey is a better actor in a vacuum. I think Will Ferrell's in funnier movies.
Yeah, and because I was thinking about that myself, and I love them both, but Will Ferrell has had better co-stars over the course of his career.
That too.
Yeah, and I think that's what helps make some of his movies better. Because I mean,
well, the writing in his movies, I think, is also it's tailored to him. Like, he is perfect for every role that he plays.
Yeah.
And that's not the case for some other actors, Carrey among them.
Yeah, and I mean, you've got Anchorman where he had kind of one persona, but when he was in The Other Guys with Mark Wahlberg, those were two totally different characters, and he was hilarious in both of them, I thought.
Yeah, or Step Brothers is another one where he plays,
yeah,
again, a totally different character, but he's hilarious. And then even, you know, you can go all the way back to Elf, right? Which is a kid's movie.
That was a good one.
It's a Christmas time movie. He's hilarious. Like, it does not discriminate on age because he's just funny.
Charlie, thoughts?
Oh, man. I felt like Will Ferrell after Anchorman was just tired. I got tired of Will Ferrell movies really quickly. Jim Carrey, I never got tired of him because it was, I don't know, it was kind of, I always found him funny. But then when he got older, he kind of got odd. And Will Ferrell hasn't done anything kind of like loopy. And then Will Ferrell does these weird funny things with sports and things like that even after his film. So he started gaining points for me. After the fact, like the fact that he thinks he's a good ball player and does things like runs off the mound and steps on the line, things you're not supposed to do, just weird things. As far as, I don't know, man, I feel like if I had to see a movie, one or the other, I'd probably want to see a Jim Carrey movie, but a marathon, that's tough. That's really hard. I'm probably just going to go classic here and go Jim Carrey. You?
I kind of would probably pick Will Ferrell. One highly underrated Jim Carrey movie that never gets any glory, and it wasn't so much a comedy. I mean, there were a few funny parts, but The Majestic was a very, very good movie.
I don't think I've seen that one.
It's a good movie. Yeah. The plot, super quick, is he's driving, he gets into an accident, has amnesia from the accident, wasn't otherwise seriously injured. And then he shows up to this town and he looks like a World War II soldier who had died. And this was in the World War II era. So he believes he's that guy because that's what everybody else is saying and he doesn't know otherwise. And then the movie just kind of goes on from there. And it's a pretty good one.
Yeah. So here we go now, since we're talking about perhaps rectifying some wrongs that we've done. If you could turn the clock back and change one thing, possibly a regret that you've made, what would it be?
I can change anything.
Anything at any course of life, anything that you would be able to change back, a regret maybe that you made in the past. Recently,
there's a couple you
could think of.
There's a couple. So I would say regret one is, this is really hard. Okay. Charlie, you look way too stressed out and I don't like it. For those of you watching, Charlie is absolutely dying behind the muted microphone right now, and it's actually making me happy, so it's tough to think about something I regret. I regret not doing things a lot more than I regret things that I've done. I'm pretty comfortable with a lot of my things I've done. I regret not saying yes to a lot of things. I was not a fun person. And I regret that. That's probably a big one.
All right.
Fair. Cool.
I know I'm not as fun as Jason on this one because I'm like not going as deep here. But
you're Jason young. Was
funny. I'm not really like I'm not really gonna be out there like Jason. He's too good. Also, don't drink 6 shots of Everclear in 60 seconds. That would be
that sounds like something you'd probably not do that.
Yeah, a message. You know, that's a regret I have.
But you were 21, right, Joe? You were 21.
Especially not on a Monday night, you know?
But you were 21, right? At least 21. No,
I was living in Europe, so it's okay. No, you're, I was
okay, 18. Good. Okay, perfect. Awesome. We do want to be responsible on the show and mention that we're not promoting underage drinking, anything like that.
I was of legal age.
In the location that you're at. Perfect. Amen.
But don't drink Everclear. That's a big one.
I'm a hard cider guy, but... All right, my final question. It's a baseball one. This is perhaps an easy one.
Some of the baseball ones are easy. Some of them are hard. We'll see.
Favorite Red Sox bullpen arm of all time?
Mike Tillman.
Really?
Notice how fast that comes out? I just love his energy. And I don't know. It depends because I won't classify Tim Wakefield as a bullpen arm. Like, I just won't. He was a starter for me. That's just how I view him. Tim Wakefield's the right answer otherwise. But I would say Mike Timlin, every time he came out of the pen, he looked like he wanted to kill the hitter. He had those, like, intense, don't talk to me, I'm going to hit you eyes that then in future years we saw with Papelbon. Some of those other guys. But for me, Mike Timlin was dominance. I love Mike Timlin.
Fair enough. Thoughts, Charlie?
That's, you know, not a bad choice. Timlin was always a fan favorite. I think he was part of the Pirates bullpen, if I'm not mistaken, back in, was it 03 or whatever, where they were like banging on the bullpen, the Pirates in the bullpen. So that's not a bad pick.
Who would you go with, Charlie?
I know that like the flamethrower, I loved Jonathan Papelbon with the fact that he always looked like he just ran like a marathon, like mouth open, everything like that. I know my favorite reliever's name of all time is a direct tie between Koji Uehara and Uga Thurbina. I just love both of their names. But as far as like,
no love for Okima?
I just thought Koji Uehara was one of the best names. Plus, Uehara was someone was kind of like a darling because he got the opportunity based on the fact that the closers that we tried getting
failed, all sucked,
bombed. Well, no, they got injured. We had I think that was when we had picked up Joel Hanrahan and Mark Melancon back to back years, and they both failed. I'm pretty sure. Maybe I'm mistaken.
And they both went on to be successful again elsewhere.
Actually, no. No, actually, I misspoke. That's not that year. Koji Uehara took over.
Daniel Bard.
Well, no, Charlie, you were kind of correct because in 2013, Hanrahan was going to be the closer. He went
was
down.
Was it Hanrahan? Okay.
Yeah.
He flamed out.
Then
I wasn't sure.
Had Tommy John like in May. Like he didn't last long at all. And then
I don't remember if I was a year off or not.
Andrew Bailey was the next man up.
Bailey. Oh, my God. Bailey. That's a terrible experiment.
He goes down with a shoulder. And he missed most, I think all of the previous year with a thumb injury. So to get to Koji, you go through Hanrahan, Bailey. I think then Andrew Miller was the next man up and he was pitching well. Then he breaks his ankle. He's done for the season. And then it was back and forth, Koji and Tozawa. And then Koji finally kind of set himself apart.
And I love Junichi Tozawa too. He doesn't bring anything to the table that's unique.
Yeah.
Like he never really did anything different.
He was a good, you know, seventh or eighth inning guy, though. Solid.
Yeah, definitely. He can't be my number one bullpen guy because he doesn't bring anything unique. I think Mike Timlin brought that energy, that, you know, the bullpen matters and we're going to be engaged in games and all this stuff.
Yeah.
Because that was a crazy year. We had, because Hanrahan was there, then Bailey, and then Uehara. Was that the order?
Miller was after Bailey.
Miller came
in. We tried Andrew Miller first.
Yeah.
Okay.
And yeah, and my favorite player of all time is Jonathan Papelbon. I love him.
I like
of course
it.
He is.
Yeah.
The intensity.
Yeah.
But I do get pretty sentimental with Koji just because he was 38 that year, and it was probably the best season we'll ever see in our lifetime. I mean, he had.
Yeah, and now he's bringing the Sox a shortstop that Terry doesn't want, and Terry's going to cross him off the list. Koji's done.
No, I won't. He'll give us someone else good in the future. He'll be a good ambassador for us. But yeah, I'm not on the Suzuki train like Charlie and Andrew are for sure.
Add me to that list.
You're a pro Suzuki guy. Yeah,
I'm pro talent.
Well, yeah, Jason and I have pretty strong negative takes on him, but we'll save that for another show. But I guess Charlie, you went through all yours, right?
Yeah, I went first. I was 10 up, 10 down.
Okay. Well, you guys know me. I'll get a little scatterbrained and skip and whatnot. So, all right. So that will wrap it up. We're going to have midweek, probably Wednesday night, I will release it. The YouTube guys did a video with their Red Sox all-time draft, and apparently it got pretty heated, so... I might
have to go watch that.
I've
yet to actually have a conversation with the YouTube team.
Yeah.
But I'm going to have to watch that.
Well, they're cranking them out. So they just did their, John Lester, video with a reaction to his retirement and reflected on his career. So, definitely check out the Bastards of Boston on YouTube. That is a separate crew. None of us are heard on it. So you're getting fresh material from
you don't have to listen to Terry.
And you don't have to listen to me.
Or me.
Mr. Nasally Monotone guy. So check those out, and we'll be back as things develop. Take care, everyone.